Welcome to the Global Gaming Business Podcast, where you hear about the business of the casino entertainment industry from the people who make it happen. I'm Roger Gross, the publisher of GGB, and this week we feature a discussion with Aaron Ezra, the president and CEO of Offercraft, on how his company develops unique methods to mine your existing database and find new customers through gamification. The GGB podcast is sponsored by iGamingPlayer.com, the leading affiliate marketing site for land-based and online casinos in the U.S. Aaron Ezra joined the gaming industry when Bally Technologies purchased its company, MacroView Labs, which developed apps for a wide variety of companies, just some of them in gaming. He became vice president for Bally's and concentrated on many cutting-edge technologies developed by the company. But 3 years ago, he left Bally's before the Scientific Games Buy to launch another startup, Offercraft, which gamifies communications with customers. The company has many relationships with casino companies and has crossed over into retail, restaurants, and other mainstream businesses. He spoke with me at the GGB offices in Las Vegas in April. Aaron Ezra, thanks for joining us on the GGB podcast. Good to see you again. You've been on several panels that I've moderated, over in the past when you were at Bally's. But let's start, how you got into this new company, Offercraft. You know, you really got into the industry when you sold your company, MacroView Labs, to Bally's, several years ago. And then you worked for them for 3 or 4 years, and now you jumped out again. What was the impetus behind that?
Yeah, for us, myself and, the other folks on our team, we had a wonderful experience at Bally. It's a great company. There was a lot to like over there. Very, very innovative. Lots to keep everybody busy. But ultimately there are certain ideas that, just need to be built and, certain ideas that are a lot harder to build in any big company. And so Offercraft happened to be one of those ideas that we were just so excited about and needed to do. And, we felt like the only way we could really do it right was to incubate it on our own.
Okay, great. So tell us about Offercraft. What makes it so special that only you could do it?
Yeah. Well, it's interesting. There are a million companies out there where the focus is really on saying, all right, here's what the incentive should be. Here's what you need to give a player to get them to come back. Here's what you need to give a player to get them to sign up for the loyalty program or whatever. And what we wanted to do was really think about not what the offer should be, but how the offer should be presented. And we realized that, there's so much time that's spent figuring out, all right, do I give $12 or do I give $15? But the way that something is given to somebody, the way that that thing is presented makes just as big a difference, often a bigger difference, in ultimately whether or not that individual is going to actually use the offer. You can imagine, for instance, if somebody sort of gets a coupon shoved in their hand where they're like, hey, come on over to the show, or here's 20% off your spa or whatever it is. You'll have a certain percentage of people who use that. But if somebody has the opportunity to play a game to win that exact same thing, you'll find a lot more people actually remember it, a lot more people want to use it.
Right.
And so we wanted to really create something that would allow us to bring the concept of gamification to all different parts of the property, because you have so many casinos where, they think about games all the time, but they only think about games on the casino floor.
Right. Yeah.
And for us, we thought, well, that's crazy, because casino patrons, more than maybe any other demographic in the world, love playing games. And so there's no reason why we should just limit it to the casino floor. We should be gamifying all sorts of different things around the property, from emails that go out to digital signage to social media to just all of the different types of interactions between hosts and players. And so that's what we've been able to put together, and that's what's been monopolizing 99% of my time for the last few years.
Well, I've been seeing some of the press releases coming out of your outfit, and you're not just casinos, though. You've been doing business with a lot of other, non-gaming companies. Is that going to become a big part of your business, you think?
Yeah, for us, we have a special place in our heart for casinos and the gaming industry. It's an industry that I care about a lot and have so many friends in and have had just wonderful experiences with. But you know, the idea of gamification mm-hmm. is something that's really broadly applicable. And, you know, it's the kind of thing where coming from the gaming world, you know, most technologies that start in gaming end in gaming. Mm-hmm. And right. that's all they focus on. But for us, you know, the interesting thing is coming from a casino and gaming background and then sitting down and talking to a retailer or talking to a hospital mm-hmm. or talking to a, you know, a hotel, a restaurant, right. a related entertainment business, you know, they really respect the gamification and game roots that, mm-hmm. that we come from. So absolutely, yeah, you know, we'll put together experiences that, you know, are really, really different. So right. for instance, we'll work with hospitals where they're trying to get people to pay their bill on time. Or trying to get people to take their medication on right. time. And if you gamify those experiences uh-huh. so that somebody can win something for paying early or win something for taking their medication, you actually get really, mm-hmm. really powerful results. Okay. So it's been a lot of fun to put those things
great.
Together.
Yeah, I guess you've got you know the real gaming experience now, and you can take that into other industries as well. That yeah, makes a lot yeah. of sense. So let's get back to casinos. What areas of the casinos do you really focus on? Is it just marketing, or is there other areas?
Yeah, you know, for us, we really primarily focus in three areas. So we gamify marketing, we gamify operations, and we gamify certain HR elements okay. as well. So on the marketing side, as we talked about, being able to for instance, when you send out emails to, and you're trying, you know, one of the most frequently used parts of our platform would be, you know, sending out emails to a whole bunch of inactive customers mm-hmm. who maybe haven't shown sure. up in a year or two right. and they're about to get rid of them in the system. By actually letting those folks go ahead and play a game mm-hmm. to win things, we'll, right. You know, so far, knock on wood, every single time we've done it, we've been able to reactivate a pretty significant number of those folks. And so there's a lot of really interesting things we'll do on marketing. We'll gamify things like when somebody is checking into the hotel, they'll mm-hmm. have a chance to play a game. Or when somebody is ordering food from the restaurant, they'll have a chance to play a game to win something. Mm-hmm. You know, one of the things that we do a lot is we'll have a server come by and say, "Hey, guys, I hope you like the food today. Did you want to pay for this or play for it?"
Mm-hmm.
And they'll be like, "All right, how do I play for my lunch? What do I need right. to do?" And so, you know, things like that do wonders on the marketing mm-hmm. side. We'll also do a lot of really interesting things where we're collecting data about these people's preferences.
Sure, right.
And so marketing is a very big piece of what we do. But then, you know, on the operations side and on the HR side, we'll do quite a bit to actually use games to incentivize certain behaviors. Mm-hmm. So, for instance, the server who serves the most drinks in the night maybe yeah. gets to play a game and win something.
Sure.
Or the, you know, the person who cleans her 5,000th hotel room gets a chance to play a game to win something. You know, we can do some tie-ins to the other systems where we're really tracking all sorts of different elements. You know, one of the properties that we do a lot of work with up in Washington State was having a big problem with absenteeism and having a lot of problems with people not logging into their intranet. Mm-hmm. So we created a game where folks could actually log into the intranet and play to win a prize only if they had perfect attendance.
Right.
So we ended up getting attendance up. We ended mm-hmm. up getting a lot Great. More people logging in. So there's a lot of cool things that we're putting together on those sides too.
Okay. So gamification, what kind of games are they, and then how do you drill down into what games are most effective?
Yeah, so this is where a lot of the science really comes in. You know, there are a broad range of different types of games that mm-hmm. can be used. We have games that are some of them have predetermined outcomes. Mm-hmm. Some of them have chance-based outcomes mm-hmm. where we have a random number generator where you know, you can just set in our system how often you want one prize to show up versus another. And then we have games that can be skill-based. So right. if you look at, like, our basketball game, for example, you can set that to be any of those three different okay. Different types of outcomes. And, you know, kind of figuring out where to use the different games is a lot of fun, mm-hmm. actually. We get a chance to A-B test this stuff all
right.
the time.
Yeah.
So, you know, we'll find that you know, certain games, when there's a transaction that we're trying to incentivize, we want that game to be very, very fast and only last for a few seconds.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if there's a game that folks are getting texted to them or a game they're playing in a public place at a kiosk, well, maybe that's a longer game. Maybe we want more of a racing game or mm-hmm. something like that. We also really take a very broad view of what a game is. So, we're not just creating experiences that are, kind of a typical slot game, although we right. have those. But, we do a lot with trivia games mm-hmm. On training sure. Staff and things like that. We'll do a lot with skill-based, like, racing-style games or games that actually require somebody to, for instance, participate in a scavenger hunt around mm. the property. So a lot of other contests okay. and things like that.
So it can be either online or even offline, even in real life.
Oh, yeah. No, we these experiences are deployed in apps, mm-hmm. In kiosks, on websites, in real life. They're presented across almost any channel you can imagine.
Mm, okay. So there has been a lot of psychological research that you guys put into this, how people respond, why they respond, and then quantifying their response.
Yeah. We spent a long time looking at fields like behavioral economics, which is sort of the study of how people behave and think and mm-hmm. what incentives get them to think about things. Mm-hmm. We looked into cognitive psychology, spent a lot of time on decision-making sciences. And, the goal of all of this was really to say, okay, how can you present information in a more psychologically compelling fashion? Because for our clients, they come to us, whether they're in gaming or outside of gaming, and say, look, guys, we spend XX million dollars a year on marketing. We typically have whatever it is, 30% of the people who respond or 60% of the people who respond or whatever. But if we can increase that by even a few percentage points, mm-hmm. then that is a massive return on our investment.
Right.
So, for us, figuring out how we can make something more memorable, figuring out how we can make something more interesting is a massive part of what we do. One of the things we talk about a lot that we spend a lot of time kind of thinking through is really just in real life testing how these different things are interpreted by folks.
Mm-hmm.
And we take the learnings that we get from each one of our customers, and there are millions of these transactions happening every day
sure.
now, and use those to make the entire platform a lot smarter and a lot better. So today when we walk into a company and they say, well, gosh, we're just trying to get people to join the loyalty program, or we want more people to answer these survey questions, or we want to convert more of our folks who are coming in for entertainment to become gamers. Okay, cool. We can put together something really neat. For the last example, let's create a game where, there's signage all over the entertainment complex. People can play games on their own phones to win an autograph from the performer or a backstage pass.
Mm-hmm.
But, in reality, 95% of the people are getting things like match play to get
sure,
them
right,
to convert
right.
and play.
Yeah, okay. So what is the intersection then between gamification and social casino? I mean, because they're both, free to play, I would imagine.
Yeah, so great question. We get that asked that one a lot. A social casino or an online casino is one in which you're really intended, it's intended to be an end in and of itself. So the person is sitting there, they're playing a game. Ideally, they're playing that game for a couple hours.
Mm-hmm.
They're spending a little extra money.
Right.
They're buying the credits that they want. Those games are fixed, though. If you pick a popular title, that title's not going to change
right.
Over time,
sure, right.
other than small tweaks to maybe make it more efficient.
Sure.
With our platform, these are games that are completely malleable. So, you can have somebody, right out of school who goes and let's say it's Christmas. They can take the scratch-off game and change the background, change the sound effects, change the rewards, change the chance of winning everything. Every element of it can be changed for Christmas and then completely rechanged again for
mm-hmm.
New Year's,
yeah.
and then completely changed again for the big slot tournament that they're doing, or the big Mariah Carey show that's coming,
right.
or whatever it is. And so you can alter these things, and that's the first big difference. The second big difference is that for us, the games are really just a means to an end.
Right.
We're using those as a way not to get somebody to keep playing the game,
sure.
but to get somebody to make another booking, or to get somebody to join, or to get somebody to give
right.
you information in
but
some
again,
other way.
You could use this, I imagine, you win this little game and you get another 20,000 credits,
We actually do
yeah,
that a
yeah.
lot. So we have over a dozen customers today who actually specialize just in the online space
mm-hmm.
who use us to you know, gamify their banner ads, for example, or gamify parts of their platform.
Okay.
Although the majority of our folks are, of course, land-based casinos.
Okay.
Looking to acquire valuable players for your online casino or even your land-based property? Check out iGamingPlayer.com, the leading affiliate marketing site for legal online gaming in the U.S. iGamingPlayer is one of the first and only online affiliate marketing sites licensed in New Jersey. iGamingPlayer delivers quality customers and profitable players with its mix of online gaming news, play for free games, and information on the best promotions offered by its partner online casinos, poker rooms, and land-based casinos. iGamingPlayer uses the vast knowledge about players and their behaviors to deliver players to your online casino and act as the bridge to your bricks and mortar property. So visit iGamingPlayer.com to see what you've been missing.
So I was looking at your website and I was reading about smart rewards and how they change behaviors of players. How does that work?
Yeah, so this is, you know, this is the part of our platform that I'm actually most proud of. Mm-hmm. And I get the most excited talking about, so you'll have to cut me off if I keep going and going. But the, the games are a really amazing way to get people engaged and get people to say, oh, okay, cool, I'll sit up and take notice and pay attention to something that I might otherwise have forgotten about. And we actually do get participation rates up pretty significantly as a result. But the redemption rates go up just a little bit. So, you know, if before you had 20,000 people doing something, gamifying the experience gets it to maybe 28,000 people. Mm-hmm. And before you had a 10% redemption rate, now maybe we have a 14% redemption rate. But what I wanted to do was I wanted to figure out a way to make that redemption rate really skyrocket so that not only are you blowing up the participation side where a lot of people say, cool, I want to play this game. But I didn't want the kind of thing where people get a reward and then they shove it in their wallet or purse and completely forget about it. Right. I wanted to figure out how do we make that offer stay cool, stay interesting. So for us, when we give out a reward, it looks like a normal coupon or voucher or something else like that. But it's not. It's actually a tiny software program that can evolve and change itself even after somebody has received it. So let's say that, you know, Roger, you're playing at a place and you get $20 for free play. So you say, oh, okay, cool. Yeah, maybe I'll use this if I have time. Maybe I'll go go home. If you do go home and you don't use that, in our system, we know that you're ignoring it. We know you didn't use it. So that reward is going to, for instance, after a few days, if you're not using it, it's going to say, hey, notice you didn't use this. Do you want something else instead?
Right.
So you can swap it out for something, you know, maybe you don't want more free play. Maybe you'd rather get something else. Maybe you'd rather get two for one on a hotel booking or whatever it is. And so you can actually select something different, which not only dramatically increases the chances of you coming in and using the thing, but also gives us really, really powerful insights into your personal preferences and kind of the macro level preferences of everybody. Mm-hmm. And there's all sorts of different behaviors that we can program in for these reward. So, you know, yes, swapping is one, but we can also look at things like, well, gosh, how often is somebody looking at the reward? So if maybe you haven't used it, but you're looking at it all the time, that tells us something very different than if you haven't used it, but you've never looked at it again. Or, you know, maybe it's the kind of thing where you used it immediately.
Right.
Well, that tells us something too. Now we know, boy, you really like, maybe you got a free drink coupon and you used it 3 hours later. We're like, all right, Roger really likes his free drinks. So let's make sure to give him another one at the same time the following week. Right. So, you know, that's the kind of thing that gives us a lot of insights. And there's a million different behaviors that we can actually pre-program in. Right. So, you know, I'll give you just two other quick examples. I can also say something like, you know, let's set up the reward so that the only way you can unlock its value is if you bring three other people with you.
Right.
Or, you know, the only way you can unlock its value is if you get somebody else to join who isn't a member. And so there's all sorts of interesting behaviors that we can incentivize people to do and complete.
Okay.
So that makes a big deal. And then, you know, a lot of the things that we'll do will be resurrecting certain offers. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if there's something that kind of passed back in February, say, you can actually program that offer to come back again later on and say, hey, notice you didn't use it before, but for the next 12 hours, it's back and it's worth twice as much to try to drive in more foot traffic at that point. So lots and lots of cool behaviors that we can program in there.
Well, you were kind of just discussing the influencers, you know, people who can bring more people with them, people who follow, you know, are followed by a lot of people. I guess this is designed to really identify those type of people as well.
Yeah, you know, what we try to do is, you know, the nice thing about the technology is that not only are we doing ostensibly the thing that we've been hired to do, which is get more people to come in, get people to spend more money and all that good stuff, but we're also able to generate some really interesting psychographic profiles of how these people think. Mm-hmm. You know, for instance, if you go out and share something with 40 people, that's really different than somebody who doesn't share it at all.
Right, sure.
You know,
right.
Or if you never use a certain type of, maybe you never use food and beverage offers ever, right. But you always use free play offers. Mm-hmm. Well, okay, that kind of tells us something. Right. You know, we just had one of our clients who did one of those swaps where they were offering like $100 off at the hotel, mm-hmm. but you could swap that for $25 of free play.
Yeah.
We had a huge number of people swap. So mm-hmm. they were like, well, why aren't we offering $100 at the hotel? We can get them right, over here for a lot less money. So there's really interesting things like that mm-hmm. that can be gleaned from it.
Okay. Tell me about the delivery systems. There's so many ways you can deliver stuff these days, from, you know, the old snail mail, direct mail, to, you know, now the tablets, you know, and you can, as you mentioned, you can text people. Do you identify how you deliver, you know, each of these messages for different clients?
Yeah, we do. And so one of the things that we love to try to sit down and do initially is basically say, look, what are the different campaigns you're running today? Mm-hmm. And let's go through these and let's just do an A/B test where we have you continue to do what you're doing.
Right.
And then let's take another group of people where we'll gamify that. Mm-hmm. So maybe it's direct mail. So we might have in the direct mail postcard something that says, hey, you know, Bob, go to blah, blah, blah casino/the game and see what you win. And, you know, before they were giving Bob his, you know, $20 of free play every mm-hmm. time he didn't show up for 2 weeks.
Sure.
Now by having him play, we can look at how much more frequently he comes in. And so just kind of testing that out across all these different channels allows us to really hone in on what works best and mm-hmm. what type of games work best for that particular group. But you're right. It's critical to have kind of a multi-channel approach.
Right.
You know, it's always interesting. You know, we frequently kind of get brought in by one person within the property mm-hmm. where they'll say, I just want to use it for this.
Right.
I don't care about the other stuff.
Right.
It's other departments.
Yeah.
Or we'll be like, please let us just try it for
yeah.
some of the other areas. But, you know, again, the nice thing is this particular demographic, because they love games, they respond to it very well across all of these different types of channels. In fact, we'll even gamify like offers they'll see on the TV in their room, you know, offers
right.
they see in their mobile app,
mm-hmm.
offers they see on the website, offers they see in all the different communications that come, not only in kind of the typical stuff that you would expect, but we'll even gamify interactions between the staff
mm-hmm.
and those visitors.
Okay. So is there any network that really works best for you, for example, Facebook or Twitter or something like that? Is there something you can identify to your clients? You know, this will work best. Let's try that first.
Yeah, you know, social is always a great one, and we see nice results there. I think kind of the super easy place to start is the gamification of emails
right,
and text
sure.
messages, because that's usually not done, or if it's done, it's done in a somewhat clumsy way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this has been built specifically with casinos in mind, so we can create really, really different experiences for everybody in different tier levels. We can actually ask questions of those folks as
mm-hmm.
well after they play the game. So if I play a game, I can then, you know, answer a question like, hey, this would be the feature that I would most like to see in the property,
mm-hmm.
or here's the last time I visited, or here's why I haven't visited.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, we can collect information that is really meant to be harnessed by the casinos in some pretty sophisticated
mm-hmm.
ways. So I'd say that's probably, you know, the you know, slam dunk, easy place for us to start. But then from there, you know, I mean, gosh, we're doing stuff all around town today with you know, dozens of casinos
mm-hmm.
here, and then of course many, many more casinos all over the world.
Sure.
And we actually just last week did a count. There are over 240 different ways that casinos today are
really?
Using the technology.
Huh, pretty amazing. Now, I'm sure you just mentioned, you know, I just want to do it for this one task, that's all. But I'm sure you run into marketing people that are stuck in their traditional, this is the way we've always done it, we're not going to change. Why is it so important for them to you know, try different things?
Yeah. So this is something that, you know, again, my last company I ran into as well when, you know, I remember talking to all of these casinos years ago when we were doing all this cool mobile technology. And I can't tell you how many people were like, nobody wants to see anything on their phone. Okay. Nobody uses smartphones. Mm-hmm. And I was like, no, you got to change. You got to do this.
Yeah.
And today, obviously, that's very, sure. very different. You know, I think that this isn't unique to the casino world. We see this across a lot of different industries where, you know, there's a kind of an attitude of, hey, yeah, we want to be paying attention to everything new, but look, we're freaking overwhelmed. There's a million different things. I got 500 different vendors bugging me every single day saying they've got the best thing since sliced bread. How do I know that this is any better than the other thing?
Right.
You know, I got other short-term priorities where if I don't execute, I'm going to get fired. Mm-hmm. You know, the average chief marketing officer is 10 years, 23 months.
Right.
So they got to move fast.
Sure.
They got to make things happen quickly. And so, you know, for us, I think I try to basically sit down with the folks that we're talking to and make it pretty clear that, look, we're not trying to replace anything that you're doing today.
Right. Yeah.
This is something that's really meant to augment that work. And, you know, it takes literally like an hour or two a week of their time. My team does the rest of it.
Right.
You know, and that's one of the things I do a lot of investing in other technology companies as well. And that's one of the things that I always recommend to people is, look, you don't want to create something that's going to be hugely time consuming for folks to do. You want to build them something that's going to make their jobs easier.
Right. So you must have a lot of people on your staff who are thinking about how to develop this. Obviously, following your lead, where do these people get these ideas from? I mean, where do they come from?
Yeah. So, you know, a lot of it comes from sort of external experiences that those folks have had mm-hmm. in other industries and in gaming. You know, we were careful to really hire a really strong team of folks who have both the psychological background, the marketing background, the HR background to really say, hey, gee, these are the experiences that we've had. We also have an amazing board of advisors who, you know, gives us a lot of really great feedback about their experiences. So that's part of it. But another big part is really just harnessing the ideas that we're seeing day to day. You know, one of the most fun parts of any new technology, whether it's the technology companies I've built or technology companies I've invested in, is really getting a chance to see what happens when this super cool idea that everybody's dreamed up actually hits the road.
Right.
And as people start saying, well, gee, how come you haven't done this? And what if we did this? And what if we did the other thing? And so many of the coolest implementation ideas come from suggestions that either our clients had or we come up with mm-hmm. our clients in tandem and then add to our roadmap. And so, you know, it's really kind of a give and take of, you know, our internal engineers and marketing and HR experts thinking of things and really just getting a chance to play with our clients and figure out what works.
Mm-hmm. Great. Well, where do you see OfferCraft going in the next few years? Obviously, casinos are your main focus now, but as I mentioned, you've got a lot of other clients in other fields. Are you going to grow exponentially there?
Yeah. You know, I think that for us, we're seeing really, really nice growth. You know, every month we're signing on a lot of new customers and getting a lot more users on it. For us, I think that casinos will always be a big piece of what we do. You know, again, it was built thinking about casinos right at the forefront. Because we have so many folks at the company who have a background in gaming and because you know, again, casinos have just been really good to me personally,
and
it's an area that we care a lot about. So it'll always be a big piece of what we do. But, you know, for me, I think that one of the things that makes a technology strong is when you can get that cross-pollination of ideas from a lot of different industries. Mm-hmm. And so part of what allows us to have so many really great ideas for casinos is the fact that we have, you know, giant retailers that are saying, hey, here's what we want to do. And we have really interesting ideas coming to us from amusement parks and from hospitals, like we talked about, from all these other areas. So, you know, I see us as continuing to expand our footprint and working with folks that are, you know, really anybody who's looking to figure out how to present information in a more interesting fashion. And so that gives us a pretty broad swath of the world to be touching. So, Hopefully we'll continue to see the nice growth that we've been seeing today.
Great. Well, Aaron, congratulations on the company. It sounds like it's a lot of excitement going on there, and the industry, I'm sure, is grateful for increasing the number of customers.
Well, thank you. Thanks.
Enjoyed this edition of the GGB podcast, sponsored by iGamingPlayer.com, the leading affiliate marketing partner for online and land-based casinos. If you want to hear more about the topics discussed today, visit GGBMagazine.com for all the news and trends in the casino industry. For weekly updates, subscribe to GGB News, which delivers all the news of the gaming industry to your desktop, waiting for you every Monday morning. Please join us next week for another edition of the GGB podcast. And don't forget to follow GGB on Twitter at Global Gaming Biz, on Facebook and LinkedIn at Global Gaming Business Magazine. Have a great week.